Hello and welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast, episode 51. I am your host, Jason Katarski, and I am here with some cool dudes, some Michigan game designers. We got together today to play some games, to give each other feedback, to kind of just help each other make our games better. And that's what this design community is all about. It's just finding out people who do what you do and getting together and making things happen. So those guests today are two fine young men. We have first John Dubois. I said that correctly.
Yes, you did.
I did. And you, where are you from?
I'm from Troy, Michigan.
And you grew up in?
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, that's where I live. That's my hometown. That's where magic happens. Okay, and then the other person I have with me is?
Mike Petty.
Mike Petty, where you live?
Lapeer, right here where we are.
Yeah, we're in Lapeer, Michigan, which is a town somewhere that's not my town. But it's cool. It's a cool town. We're at the back room of a game store. And this game store is BC Comics in Lapeer. And we're using the D&D room right now. And when we walked in, I turned on the light switch. And flaming torches lit up on the walls.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's like this table seats 12 people, it looks like. And each person has their own like dice rolling octagon indented into the table. This is serious. We're on a time limit because there's a D&D group coming in after us. So we're going to shoot for an actual 20 minutes of filler today. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Awesome. So first, just how did you get into game design, John?
I got into game design because, well, I started game design with Dungeons & Dragons. I was a member of organized play campaign for that. And when I met my wife, she was not terribly interested in playing Dungeons & Dragons, but was more interested in playing board games. So we started playing more board games, and I got into design from there.
Cool. So I just started. So D&D is a game that almost makes you a designer from the beginning, right?
Sure.
So it gives you a taste of that. And then you move into these other games, you see this world of board games, and you're like, I'm going to take a stab at this.
Absolutely.
Awesome. What was your first game design ever?
My first game design, which is now a dead game design, as all first game designs are, was Bread and Circuses, which was a social negotiation game about getting out of Rome before the peasants revolted.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So you just went for it. You put together a game. It failed, but you weren't discouraged. You just got up on that horse and you tried again, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Mike, so you've been doing this a little bit longer than John and I.
Right.
And you're part of the first group of people that did an event called Protospiel.
Right.
With Stephen Glenn and
2001. Yeah.
And who's the other people?
Dominic Krapuschat, Stephen Glenn.
Yeah.
Me.
And Mike Petty. So yeah, so Dominic owns that game North Star. Right. They make a little game called Wits and Wagers, a little game called Evolution. Stephen Glenn has designed Rattlebones, was one of his most recent games.
Spike.
Oh, yeah. And one of my favorite games of all time, Balloon Cup, which is now Pinata, which I just got Pinata for the first time,
still
too.
Balloon Cup.
And it's the same game, but it's great. It's different. You know, it's just like the way he originally envisioned it. But cool. So you guys got together and said, this was when? When was this?
This was 2001. And, you know, actually, between the three of us, it's funny because obviously I'm the one that people probably don't know my name, but they've always been nice, and they said I was one of the founding members, so that was cool. We had a blast. It ended up being five of us at the first event, and you know, it grew every year since then. I ran it or helped run it up through 2005, and then I've kind of distanced myself from it. You know, different life things came along, but I got to say it was great today because you guys are part of the dream. For years, I wanted to do this here in Lapeer. Somehow.
Yeah, like right where you're at home and just find some people locally to work on games.
Kind of local. I mean, you drove a ways, right, John?
About the same I drove to Protospiel.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks for coming. This has been a blast today.
Thanks for having me. We got a lot of good work done.
Yeah, we play quite a few games and talk shop a little bit, which is cool because we come from like three different places. Like John just wants to design games, and I'm designing and leaning more towards publishing these days. And then Mike, kind of like, you're just like, I love making games,
right?
But you haven't published anything in a while.
I'm definitely getting back into it.
Yeah, it's kind of a reemergence.
I took a break. Yeah.
So like, tell me about the first. You have a game that was published several years ago.
Right. Party game.
A party game. And what's that party game called?
It was What's It To You, first of all, and then when I signed the contract with Find It Games, it's called Oh Really.
Oh Really. And the Find It Games is the people who sell those, like, they look like hourglasses like filled with beads, and there's things hidden in them.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So they picked up your game to sell it to, like, educational stores and toy stores and stuff.
It was in family Christian stores, too, actually.
You know? Oh, okay.
So just kind of different places that I didn't expect that one to go. But, yeah, actually, that was a game that grew out of my, you know, groups at Protospiel. I played it in the early days, and they saw some promise in it, and they helped me, you know, tweak it and kind of grew from there.
Cool. And isn't the heart of the game, like, there's a topic comes up, and you have cards, or you put these topics in order of, like, your values.
Right, yes.
And then other people have to judge and guess, like, what theirs is.
You're really trying to guess each other, how your partner's going to rank those five things. So, it's pretty fun. You find out things about your wife that you thought you knew that she's going to really, you know, think that she's going to put underwear under money, you know, or something.
Underwear is less important than money. Right. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and lots of arguments can arise.
And really getting to know each other through those choices.
Right.
And which is always a cool thing for a party game, a great icebreaker, and learning something about those people that you're playing with.
Sure.
So you initially published that game with Fair Play Games, which was an online game store, right?
Right.
Out here in the middle of nowhere in Michigan.
Right.
The game has changed in those 15 years, right? So tell me a little bit, what was it like to be somebody who had a prototype, who wanted to get a game made that wasn't selling it to, like, one of the big companies?
Right. In the pre-Kickstarter days, right?
The pre-Kickstarter days. Let's do that.
Okay, so anyway, here's what happened. Is the second Protospiel, we met in Lansing, and I met James Drosha. And when he designs games, he goes by James Kyle.
Okay.
He made Hellrail at the time. And he told the story of how he made Hellrail. And it was a few handmade copies, and he just kind of built up. He didn't want to put a big investment into this. And he built his way up, and he somehow ended up in Games Magazine in the Games 100. Mm. That was sold enough, or got enough attention, that he sold out of the ones he made by hand. Mayfair picked it up. So that was the model he proposed.
Okay. And so start small, get some attention, and then somebody's going to buy it from you.
Exactly. And that is exactly what happened with my What's It To You game. I mean, my first print run, $10 at Office Depot. Yeah, that was it. I went to Office Depot. I cut the cards out by hand. Over the years, it grew from there.
Cool.
And I did get into Games 100 at the end of 2004.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, that helped greatly. That got the ball rolling.
Yeah. So, like, how many did, like, when you started printing the mass produced, how many did you print?
The first time that we did it with Fair Play Games, they were going under the name of New World Games, we sold 200. We printed 200 copies.
Okay. Also handmade kind of a thing?
It was hand-assembled at that point, but we had a company cut the cards out, you know, so it was hand-assembled, and then we did 3,000 after that sold out. That's what got us in the Games 100. Then we did 3,000.
Okay, and that 3,000, did you go to China to get those printed? Kind of the more traditional?
Right.
Yeah? Okay.
And, you know, this was 2005. You know, just to kind of put it in perspective, that was 2005. We printed those through 2006. We were selling them. And then gradually those trickled out, and an agent found the game, called me out of nowhere. I didn't expect this at all. I didn't seek him out. He said, I like the game. I think that we could sell it. And that's how we got it to find at Games. It wasn't a hit, you know, but I mean, it made the rounds. I was really happy to see it go that far.
And who was that agent? You told me that they were responsible for another well-known party game.
Tim Walsh, and I believe he worked on Tribond. I think his company is the Playmakers.
Okay,
and he's done some Kickstarter things and some books about, you know, classic games.
Oh, awesome!
Game stories.
That's a neat story. So, like, when you have 3,000 copies that you guys financed,
right?
How do you sell those? Without, I mean, we go to Kickstarter, right? And we're trying to get people's attention that way. And we, you know, if you're lucky, you can move some copies, you know, rather than going door to door. Is that what you were doing? Were you going door to door?
Lots of calls like that. Yeah, just calling places and trying to get to retailers. But, you know, Terry Carr was my friend that published it through Fair Play, and they were an online retailer. You know, Fair Play could just sell them Right from the store.
They put it right on the homepage, right?
But we also did, he worked with Alliance, the distributor, so, you know, they would sell for us, too.
Oh, cool. So you did connect with the traditional distributor.
Right, and then other online stores would just buy some from us, you know. We sold a lot that way. A lot went online.
That's cool.
That's for sure.
Well, that's a neat story. Like, I don't mean to make you feel like you're ancient. I'm sure that...
compared to you guys, I am. That's cool.
We're the new kids on the block here. So it's fun to pick your brain and, like, get to hear about, like, you were a part of this scene that inspired some games that I really love. And, like, has went on now, there's Protospiels all around. That's more than five people. You know, 40, 50, 100 people come to these events. Unpub has, you know, 50, 60 designers and like 1,000 playtesters come out and test games. Publishers from all over the country are going to these events now looking for games. Like, the industry is like booming because of Kickstarter, because like people's consciousness and desire to like connect over tables is growing again. But it's like going back, and like, I like 90s punk rock music, but I gotta go back and listen to the Ramones too, because I gotta see where all that stuff came from, you know, like, and it just like it's inspiring, and it's like, yeah, this is just about people who love this, not about like big business, and it's just about having fun and sharing games with people. So thanks for sharing that kind of story. And what's kind of cool is like John here, like, he's that next step in the story too, because we have met through this design community and we've become friends in that way too. And you currently have a game on Kickstarter, which we worked on together a little bit. I helped you. I played tested a few times at both Protospiel and Unpub. So let's talk a little about that game. This is your first published game. It's on Kickstarter right now. It's only a few days left, a short campaign.
Yep, short campaign ends January 16th. The game is called Avignon, and it is a quick 5-minute game about building enough influence to become Pope. And basically the way it works is two players influence various characters in the church, cardinals, knights, even peasants. And as you're trying to pull characters towards you, you're trying to push less desirable characters towards your opponent. And the first person to get a good mix of characters wins and takes the chair of Pope.
Cool. Yeah. And who's doing this game for you?
I'm doing the game through Buttonshot Games, which is Jason Tegmeyer's company.
Yeah, he's a good friend of our show.
As part of the Wallet line, he has a whole line of games that are 18 cards or less in a little vinyl sleeve. And Avignon is the latest, and he is planning on doing one of those a month this year.
Wow. He's going to be a busy dude.
Yes.
The cool thing I like about what Jason is doing with that Wallet line is it sounds a lot like what Mike was just talking about. Like, it's very homebrewed. Like, these games are probably not going to make it to retail. Like, he's not hand-cutting cards because of the availability of on-demand printing now.
Sure.
But he is packing them into these cool little wallets that are screen-printed, and they're small. They have to be, like, 20, 18 cards or less, right? Fit your pocket. But he's doing a really great job with art. And actually, what's cool is recently he did one of these for a game called Pretense. And Pretense has since been picked up by AEG. Is getting, like, a full-on retail release now. So, it's kind of that similar path, but like, so what's it been like for you to develop this game? Talk a little bit about how your game idea started and where it's come to.
Sure. So it started as a Twitter conversation where a couple of people, in particular Daniel Solis, were talking about different mechanisms that people hadn't really used, and he came across this really interesting what he called a tug of war mechanism, where there's cards and table and rows. And people are trying to pull the cards they want towards them, similar to what you do in Word on the Street with letters.
Oh, yeah.
And he was trying to think of a theme for it. I kind of latched onto it and thought about the cards in Guildhall, where you take certain actions that get more powerful the more the same cards you have in your play area. And started from there about a game that had a very different theme. It was about collecting folktale animals to complete a folktale story. But that theme didn't go over very well. And so through another designer's forum online, the Board Game Design Forum, they ran a monthly contest with a various theme that you had to adhere to. And they came up with a religion theme 1 month. And I rethemed that game in the theme of political influence in the Catholic Church. And it seemed pretty well received there, so I flipped it in the prototype and then took that to Protospiel.
Cool. And And it was like a tile game, right? Like,
right.
They're like wood burned, which it's kind of, it feels like an abstract game, chess like, or, mm-hmm. you know, you're just moving pieces on a grid. There was an actual board. Was there an actual board?
Yeah, there was an actual wooden 5x5 board, which was dropped and now is in the special edition of the Kickstarter. You can get a play mat that is a board. And from there, it went in front of Jason, and Jason just said, not as has to be cards. Jason, you, not Jason.
Jason, me. Oh, thanks.
And I took that idea, turned it into cards, and that was kind of more or less the final form game settled on. You know, Button Shy's added art and graphic design, you know, those things that go after the prototype. But that kind of card-based 5x5 grid was where it stayed.
That's cool. You know, and what's really neat is, I mean, I suggested that it be cards because I thought it would be easier to produce, but also I think it gets the story over a lot better because, like, the art, it's Fabrice Weiss, I believe, that Jason hired again, who did Seven Sevens mm-hmm. illustration, and he drew, like, these religious characters, cardinals and popes, to look like chess pieces, but with faces and stuff. They have little, and it, like, you feel it. You feel the theme mm-hmm. come through when you can't maybe get into that as much if it's, like, wood burning on, you know, 1-inch tiles. So, like, I think that's a really cool move, and especially with the movement of micro games, you know, it's mm-hmm. 20 cards and people can throw it in their pocket where you can't, like, as easily throw a 5x5 wooden grid in your pocket and take it on the road.
Right.
Well, that's cool, man. It's been going really well. The goal, like, blew away on the first day and it's still going. Who is this game for? Like,
this game is for, I like it as a couples game. My wife and I play it all the time. It's also a good parent and child game. If you have a child who's into board games, it really ages 8 and up, I would say, in terms of age. But I've had people who like casual fillers say they liked it. Button Shy sent a copy to BGGCon, where Mike Fitzgerald gave it props. So I've seen designers and players of all different, you know, as long as you like light strategy and aren't turned off by a short playtime, the game is probably a good match for you if you like two-player games.
Cool. I like two-player games, and I like games that are quick, so, and I've played it already. So so I'm looking forward to getting my hands on a copy. And there's only a few days left, and this is one of those games, guys, if you should take a look at it, because it might not make it to retail. It might be online on Jason's web store, but... Yeah. You know, that's a little less convenient, you know?
Yeah, unless the game gets signed by someone else, you know, the rights get transferred. Button Shy has never produced a retail copy of the game.
That's just not their model. They just like to, like, we're going to make these games, we're going to put them out because we love it, and it's working for them.
Well, and it's a throwback to what Mike was talking about, you know, sitting in your garage hand-assembling games.
Yeah.
You know, these games, the cards are printed in one place, the sleeves are in another, and then I'll go to Jason Tagmeyer's house, and he and his wife put them together.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, it's the old school hand assembly method.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a neat model for this day and age. So before we go, I just want to get a couple recommendations from you guys about some of your favorite filler style games. That's usually what we talk about, games that can be played quickly, that don't have a ton of rules, that we can get up and running, and that work with a wide audience. So Mike Petty, mm-hmm. what do you think of when you think of, like, one of your favorite fillers?
Oh, let's see. Newer stuff. My family's really enjoyed Lost Legacy, which the first time I played that was with you at your Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Gathering. You taught me that game. So I bought the first four versions of that. And I really enjoy that game because I don't like a long game. You know, I think you like fillers a lot. I love fillers. We don't get to game enough together.
Yeah, we'll have to keep this going. Mm-hmm. So Lost Legacy by Seiji Kanai, published by AEG here. Another micro game, just simple, like 16 cards, something like that, maybe 20. Really clever game. Yeah, that's definitely worth checking out. And you had another, like, real classic one that you said you like play with your son.
Like real classic, right?
Yeah. Super classic.
Yeah. My favorite game probably is 5-minute speed chess with a random setup.
So tell me about that. How does that work?
Well, you know, if both people are into chess, I mean, this is great. It's so addictive because no two games are alike. You randomly set up the back row. Usually one person hides all the pieces and they say left or right. And whichever piece it is, left or right, you know, it might be a rook. Okay, rook goes in there. which normally would be the first space or first piece, but it could be a bishop or your queen right there, you know, in the corner. We just set up the whole board that way. Both people get the same setup, but it's, you know, always different. 5 minutes on the clock and we go. And it's addictive.
And you each get 5 minutes, and if you run out of time, you lose.
You lose, yeah.
Wow.
Right, yeah. And I got a former student named Greg, and when he comes back to my house, we just play that, and it's very addictive. It's great. We're equally matched, too, which helps.
That's cool. Yeah. Awesome. And John, what about you? What's one of your favorite fillers that you want to recommend?
I'm going to go with another microgame, which would be Coup.
Coup, yeah.
15 cards and coins.
Yeah, what do you like about that game?
I'm a big fan of bluffing and deduction games in general. I got another game I'm working on that I've been working on for a while. That's deduction. And my love of that started with Resistance and Coup, those indie boards and cards games. You know, it's quick. It gets my brain going. And that's what I like seeing in games.
Awesome, awesome. Coup and Lost Legacy, and go and dust off your chess set and play some 5-minute speed chess. Hey guys, thanks so much for chatting with me about making games and designing games and some games that you like. John, tell me how people can find you on the internet.
You can find me on the internet on Twitter at John Dubois. And you can find my game Avignon on Kickstarter.
Can you spell Avignon?
Avignon, A-V-I-G-N-O-N.
Awesome. On Kickstarter for just a little bit longer. So check that out. And Mike, do you have Twitter or social media or anything like that?
Yeah, Twitter's the best place to start. I'm at mpetty39.
mpetty39. Awesome. And you guys can find me at Jason Kotarski or at Green Couch Games. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, get out there and play some great little games.